Welcome back. We're on YouTube here, and it's half a Get a Grip on Lighting because Greg Eric's down in Minnesota and hanging out down there. And but I'm very honored to be with one of my colleagues, Peter Ma of Vivid Lighting, just outside of Toronto. His shop is in Concord, Ontario at Steeles and Dufferin. So if you know where, you know Toronto at all, that's pretty easy to recognize that area. And he decided to drop in at the Get a Grip Studios to hang out with the host of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. I'm very honored to be with my colleague, Peter Ma. Welcome.
I was very excited to see you, Michael. Yeah, like, been listening to your podcast for very many years. And, yeah, I finally get to see you. It's like meeting my celebrity here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always say, Peter, that we don't really have listeners. We just have colleagues that don't do podcasts.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and so when we started the show, we always thought, you know, what kind of a podcast would we want to listen to as lighting professionals? And so that's where kind of where Get a Grip on Lighting was born from. Let me ask you a couple things. How long, first of all, have you been in the lighting industry?
So, yeah, I've been in the lighting industry about five years already. So I actually started off from Eurolight. Downtown. So,
sure.
I've been working as a showroom, like a floor salesperson, and so that's kind of how I started getting going. Because how I got that job was because my parents in Taiwan. I'm from Taiwan myself. Mm-hmm. I'm here since high school. My parents in semiconductor industry. So we're making flash.
Is everyone in Taiwan in the semiconductor industry?
No, not really. Yeah, we're in the flash drive business.
Okay.
So as you know, that the flash drive, the packaging is also called COB. So COB. So COB,
sure.
Flash drive, and COB LED is the same types of technology.
Sure.
So as you know, that the cloud kind of took over the flash drive business. So our supplier says, like, hey, why don't you get into lighting? And then it was my dad who started a business. And he's like, okay, lighting is an industry that is not like electronic, that every year has like maybe like 5 year or 2 year cycle, and then things get changed, right? Mm-hmm. So lighting is a very sustainable business that keeps it running. I started my job in Eurolight, I was also a trades apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to pre apprenticeship to do my electrical, but I didn't get my license. For my school, I actually went for graphic design. So trades and art, it turns combined together, it becomes kind of like lighting. That's what I kind of think of.
That's so great. I love that. Trade plus art equals lighting.
Yeah.
Electrical trade plus graphic design. That's actually a really interesting point there.
Yeah.
Get a grip on lighting, listeners. So what I'm hearing from you, though, is that your parents are in the flash drive business.
Correct.
The flash drive business, you know, starts to take a hit in 2008-09 when the cloud starts to make gains, and then it's basically eliminated by 2015, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's dribs and drabs. I have a couple, but nobody is, like, we recycle tons of flash drives here at Waste Diversion, buddy. Let's put it that way, right?
Yeah.
And so your family moves into the lighting business, and as part of that, you start to work at Eurolight.
Correct.
Get some experience.
Yeah, to get some experience.
You start working in the electrical trade so that you can understand how fixtures are wired and how they technically work. And you're doing some graphic design work. When did Vivid Lighting launch? Was that your dad? Is that your dad's business? Is it your business? Or what's your role at Vivid?
We're all started off as my dad came out with fixtures in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
It has no UL certification. It was really kicking off by I got a job for Real Fruit Bubble Tea in Toronto.
Okay.
So Real Fruit Bubble Tea, as you know, is a chain store, kind of like a fresh squeeze.
Okay.
I met the interior designer. They say, hey, I need these kind of light for my job. And I also need some lighting design. And
okay.
So we happened to look at Nelka, which is a YouTuber, like very active in the Dialogues industry. So she teaches, she brings out a lot of free content on YouTube, teaching people how to do lighting design using software. And that's also I self-taught, learned how to use a lighting.
And this is called Nelka?
Yeah, Nelka.
How do I spell that? N-E-L-C-A? Just got to look it up.
Yeah, I have to look it up, Nelka.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in Dubai. Yeah,
Oh,
she's in Dubai. As you know, that Dialux is more of a European
sure.
Lighting design software versus here people use Visual
Yeah.
or AGI 32.
Yep.
Sorry, what's your question? I lost my
Oh,
thought
how
there.
did like what do you do for Vivid? What are you the owner? Or are you the vice president
Yeah,
of sales? Or what
so
is your dad's company?
it was my dad's company. I have like half a share.
Okay.
So me and my dad. And it's a family business. I have my sister involved. She's doing lighting design as well. And my mom is part of business. So a family operated business.
Wow.
Yeah. So my role is acting as a I'm a salesperson. I go out, try to knock on doors. So we do specification grade products. So we try to get into office, doing lunch and learn, and and I do quotation pretty much every day. Sometimes try to like specify product and quote to distributor and so on. We are on a very interesting spectrum of the business, because that's when I was talking to Jess, is that you're kind of in your own world, like you're being
Jessica
left.
Pignataro is another listener to the show that Peter had run into at the Interior Design Show in Toronto, just to give you some the listeners out there some perspective on that. And it turns out that while they were talking, when they met, they brought up that they're both listeners to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. And that's how they connected. And so just to give the listeners out there some context of what he's talking about when he says Jess, because we've had a conversation obviously before this conversation. And Jess, we love you. We know you're out there. Hopefully you'll come into studio one day and we can meet. So carry on. So you're doing lunch and learns, you're selling lighting, you're quoting every day. And how's the business for you?
So, as you know, that the typical tradition, the distribution chain, you have manufacturer, you have agent, you have distributor, and then you go to your contractor,
Sure.
right? And then from the other side of the spectrum would be agents going to interior designer, lighting designer, and then to the architect, to the owner. So it's like two routes. So you have the distribution route, and then you have your spec route, right? So we're trying to merge that right now, which means that we are selling direct, like to the
You're out
contractor.
of here.
I know, like you guys hate it. I know. That's like
That's okay. No.
that's a part that like people are saying, like, what are you guys
This is
doing?
it's turning into a confession,
I know,
folks. It's a
I'm
confession.
trying to do a
I
confession.
sell
I sell
direct.
the rag. The reason why we're doing that is because I started off only in the Chinese market here.
Okay. Which is
So
enormous, by the way, for those listening. Toronto has a massive expatriate Chinese
yeah,
community.
next door is so many guys out there. So
26 LED shops within a 30-minute walk of my office. 26 Chinese importers. Is that the right fair way to
correct.
say it?
Yeah, importer.
26 of them. I can walk 30 minutes in every direction. You can't swing a dead cat in Markham without hitting an LED store. So it's true. Please vouch for me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's
They're
very true.
everywhere. So.
Yeah, so as I said, bring it back to the designer I was talking to, Real Fruit Bubble Tea. So I met the designer, and the designer is like, okay, so here's the contractor's contact. Can you sell to them? Like, help me write a specification. So I helped them design the whole place and write a specification. At the time, just contractor asked me for pricing, right? I didn't know how to go through distributor and so on, because they are my first customer.
Sure.
So that's how I started getting kick off. So the more I do, I met more Chinese designer in this market. As you know, that the Chinese designer here, they're kind of like being left out by most of the agencies. They because agents they don't knock doors on them. And
Sure.
then, you know, Chinese business here is booming. And there's a lot of restaurants, bubble
The
teas.
Chinese economy is a sub-economy unto itself within Toronto,
Absolutely,
right? So, like,
absolutely.
there's the Toronto economy, and then under that is this Chinese expat economy, which it's not like they don't do business outside their economy. It's just that theirs is the largest single ethnically created economy in Toronto. And they have their own manufacturers, their own importers, their own stair manufacturers, contractors, sign makers, and it's a economy unto it and of itself, and has its own pricing too, which is interesting. So there's prices for a set of stairs from the Chinese contracting community, and then there's prices for a set of stairs from your home outside the Chinese contracting community.
Probably,
And
yeah.
the outside the Chinese contracting community does not compete with the Chinese contracting community, and generally the Chinese contracting community does not compete with them. It's very insular. It's an interesting thing, and you can see it in Markham. It's all up here. It's an interesting sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you got stuck into that. That sort of thing works differently.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to branch away from that? Are you going to try to move into the general lighting? Are you going to? I don't think there's a bad choice. Or is it just easier to stay in that community and sell?
So the thing about here is that, as you said, any Joe can bring a container here, start selling. Anybody.
Sure.
Right? And so how we do differently is that we start to importing components. So we assemble here in Toronto to meet the specification grade. You want 35K, you want narrow degree beam. By the way, I didn't mention about what I sell. I sell like poly, track light, linears, so architectural products, right? Architectural fixtures. So as you know, these products, I mean, specification has to be very detailed, right? You have tons and tons of options out there. Colors, different kinds of TM30, not CRI, but I know the podcast. Yeah, so we can tailor make to the lighting effect that designer want. So when we talk to the designer, said, hey, we're not any lighting store down the street. What we're selling is a lighting effect, not a lighting fixture. If you want a lighting fixture to compete, like compare pricing with anybody else, we're not the right guy. Right? So if you want a certain lighting effect, we'll make it happen. We'll do it on Dialux and we calculate it and show you this is the result it's going to be before you even install or move a chisel. This is the lighting effect you're going to see that.
Sure. And this is focused on the new construction market or the heavy renovation market.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so when people talk about the channel of lighting, I often, when I tell my manufacturers here, and maybe the Get a Grip on Lighting nailed listeners are not going to like this, and that's okay. There's lots of things I say that people don't like, actually. But one of the things I would say is that I don't care about the channel. Now, when I'm the host of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. We're discussing the industry as a whole.
Correct.
But when I'm operating Atlas Lighting here in Toronto, I deal in the market that I'm in. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm a distributor in the market, and I go about my business my way, and you go about your business your way. And I think it's awkward when people in the industry seem to want to demand that people do business the way they want them to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I would prefer if lighting had channels, but I don't think these should be enforced by regulatory agencies.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
If a manufacturer wants to sell directly to a contractor, I don't think that's any of my business, whether it's a light fixture or not.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would say that likely, I would say my opinion would be, in general, I don't know anything that much about your company. I just met you today, right?
Yeah.
But in general, I would say customers are much better off working with the distribution channel because the access to warranties and to various products and pricing considerations and value are better. But I'm a distributor. Of course I would say that. You understand what I mean?
I know.
And I think it's true for my customers.
Right.
I don't know what's true for your customers. And quite frankly, Peter, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, you're going about your business and I'm going about mine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like for me is really start from spec to delivery, right? That's what I'm trying to do because at the end of the day, I'm trying to make everybody happy. Meaning that, first of all, I have to make...
Careful with that.
Well, I have to make designer happy. That's the most important because things go wrong. Designers contact Peter and say, hey, what's wrong? Like, how come it's not bright enough? Right? And then at the same time, I have to make sure contractor is happy because they have no trouble doing the installation, right? It's like, why is this crappy fixture? It's so hard to install. So I have to kind of facilitate everybody. But the reason I'm thinking about that distributor in my case, it doesn't make sense is because I'm going to after a job and says, hey, please specify a product. And jobs goes on tender. And then I was like, hey, why do I have to let a distributor take 20%? I'm doing most of the job here. Like, and so that's like kind of the where things get conflicts happening.
Well, I think distributors have an obligation. So that's the there's a trifecta there that you missed.
Yeah.
Okay. So distributors often wonder why the agents are getting anything at all.
Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting.
Like, why do we need these agents in here? Like, I don't need this guy.
Yeah.
So a specialty lighting distributor. Lighting agents are for electrical distributors, not lighting distributors.
Okay.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Lighting distributors generally don't need agents.
Correct.
Because they don't need their knowledge, because they have the knowledge.
Right.
Whereas electrical distributors, they need lighting agents.
Right.
Right? So lighting agents, and the other thing is that a lot of agents actually are distributors.
Oh, sorry.
So there's agents, agencies that stock products.
Yeah.
And ship from a warehouse.
Right.
Right. That would make you a distributor.
Correct.
Not an agent.
Yeah, not an agent.
But they're calling themselves an agent. Yeah. Right? Like, we're a lighting agency, but you have a warehouse.
Yeah.
In Mississauga.
It doesn't make sense.
It's 20,000 square feet. It's filled with light bulbs.
Yeah.
You're a distributor. No, we're an agent. Okay, call yourself an agent then. You understand what I mean? Whatever. Yeah. Like I said, when I'm Get a Grip on Lighting Host, it's one thing.
Yeah.
When I'm out there in the market, I don't really care what people want to call themselves.
Yeah.
I think another thing that's interesting that we need in the industry is, like, we need to establish the difference between agent, rep, representative, dealership, distributor.
Yeah.
These things are kind of muddled all together into different and be... are what everybody, what anybody thinks they are.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could say that in a way, while you're doing some assembly, so you're a light manufacturer.
Correct.
A light manufacturer. You're bringing parts in, you're screwing them together or whatever, right?
Yep.
Plugging wires, doing wire nuts or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Or whatever those wiring harnesses or whatever it is. But there's an element of that, which is that most of these manufacturers are actually just distributors that sell to distributors.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's not very many people that actually manufacture light bulbs.
No, not at all.
Right? So I can think of a couple that are in Markham, in this area here, that are saying we're a manufacturer, when really they just bring in containers, loads of fixtures from China.
Yeah.
And so they're a distributor who's selling to other distributors.
Correct.
Right? And so these terms of, and the channel... it's collapsed. It's over. It's reforming in some ways, but I think there is room. I would say that for, you know, you're a boutique manufacturer, perhaps, is a good way to describe it.
I would say so. Yeah. Because, I think the biggest difference is that we actually own our own tooling. So we actually design the product ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're not buying on the shelf product. Like, you know, we're not going to Hong Kong Life Fair and just say, hey, I want this. And then put a slap a UL sticker on, you know.
Sure.
It's not like that. We actually have our own UL listing. We have our own tooling. We control from what kind of driver to what kind of seal, what kind of chip to use. But again, I mean, still being made in China, but we own the tooling, right? So we have the full control of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the So I wanna bring something up. I wanna talk a little bit about Taiwan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
First of all, Taiwan has a long history in lighting, actually.
Yep, I would say so, yeah.
I mean, Taiwan probably started manufacturing light bulbs in the 60s, maybe? Okay. 70s?
I don't know too much about that, actually.
Right, and so and also, a lot of people, Taiwan also has a long history in track lighting, actually.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so a lot of track lighting has been made. And all, exactly,
Halo,
and a lot of architectural pot lights were made in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Deng Xiaoping comes along and says, to become rich is glorious, and all those factories start moving to China, mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
But before there was made in China, there was made in Taiwan.
Yep.
And so the lighting industry was heavily dependent on Taiwan, even for halogens as well were made in Taiwan for a long time. So is there a history of lighting in your family? You said there was before the flash drives. And if not, what did your family do? Did they leave during the Cultural Revolution? Taiwan? Or?
No, Taiwan, the history is kind of interesting. So you have two generations. So my mom's family actually arrived in Taiwan before the Japanese does, before the Japanese colonized Taiwan.
So this is before Chiang Kai-shek lost the civil war to Mao.
Correct.
So they moved to Taiwan before the civil war was stopped for the Second World War. Because there was kind of two civil wars, right?
Yeah.
There was a civil war before the Second World War, and there's a civil war after the Second World War. Am I correct about
correct.
That?
Correct. That's right. Yeah.
Right? And so they stopped the civil war to fight the Japanese.
Correct.
Is that right? Do I have that correct? So Chiang Kai-shek and Mao joined up together to fight the Japanese and then continued fighting after the war. Right?
That's right, yeah.
And so your family moved to Taiwan before Chiang Kai-shek lost the Civil War.
My mom is before the Japanese,
yeah.
and my dad's after Japanese.
Okay.
So you have the from before the before the how can I call it the.
Before
the
Second World War,
yeah, before Second World War,
but
and
after,
then after
the, but after the Civil War, it started.
Correct.
So, the Civil War is starting,
mm-hmm.
and people in mainland China start to say, "You know what? I better get out of here."
Yeah, that's right. So that's my dad from my dad's side.
Okay.
Yeah. So and then most of people who left China are the like engineer or like. High-tech people.
Yeah, so I wrote a set of articles for lightheadmag.com
okay.
called The China Question.
No.
You never read the set
no.
of those articles?
No.
So yeah, a lot of people, they don't understand that all the rich people and educated people left for Taiwan.
Correct.
Is that basically what happened?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so then they started a whole bunch of factories, which is, you know, Taiwan Semiconductor is probably the highest level of intellectual property in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe they have it, they own it. And they want them to build factories to make those chips in America now.
Correct.
So all the super smart, intelligent people that had money left and went to Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. That's right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then Deng Xiaoping said, come back.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's
that's
like, I
want
to take Taiwan back. Yeah, exactly.
And they said, well, you come here to Shenzhen
yeah.
and start making your factories here. And then you can get mega rich, actually, if you
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's
to become
time,
rich
yes.
is glorious, right? But what happened was... all the people that knew how to run these factories and build these machines and the tools and everything, all that moved to Taiwan
yeah.
between, say, 1935 and 1946.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
that
something like
frame?
That. Yeah,
yeah,
time,
yeah, yeah.
Somewhere around time frame. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, that's, like, kind of like my family goes there. But, yeah, to back to your question, does my family, any of them have the lighting background? No, we do not. Actually, the lighting industry actually do have two kind of aspect. What I see is that one type is from the traditional fixture and then trying to retrofit with LED chip
mm-hmm.
or bulb, but we coming from design from a electronic point of view, meaning that we start from the chip,
okay,
and then I based on the chip you need a heatsink, right? So we design a heatsink and then we design the outer fixture. But most of the people or before they would do is that they start from a fixure mm-hmm. and then design it inward.
Yeah, agreed.
So
agreed.
I design it outward. So that's like from a semiconductor type of view how
yes.
we design it. Yeah.
So you're inverting the natural design
correct
flow
yeah.
that is typical in the lighting industry. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Inverting it.
Huh.
I want to go back to Taiwan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Did any of your family fight in the Chinese Civil War?
My grandpa did, yeah. Yeah, he's actually, he actually worked for the Air Force, and then he actually worked on the Canada Arm. He's in
Oh, is that right?
That's why he's here. That's
okay.
how I came here. Yeah.
Your grandfather came to Canada first.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
then your father came.
That's right.
And then you came in high school.
Actually, my dad went to Taiwan, and I was born in Taiwan,
yeah.
and then I come back here.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, my grandpa was working for Douglas mm-hmm. at the time.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like I'm not sure if
it's
still
it's
around.
It was Douglas, then McDonnell
yeah.
Douglas.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Northrop Grumman bought them or not or something
yeah,
like. There's
I'm
a lot
sure.
of consolidation
yeah.
in defense contractors.
That's right.
So you're saying your grandfather worked for a defense contractor in Canada.
Correct.
As an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he fought in Chiang Kai-shek's army, or he was in the Air Force.
That's before change my word a little bit. Sorry,
oh.
no, he left China, but I believe at the time he was still young. But he was his, and then he goes to Taiwan to join the Air Force, and then he being recruited to Canada here. So I'm not sure. Like when you say fight,
what
do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. What years? Yeah. What? When did he come to Canada? What year?
I believe it was in the 50s or 60s.
So, and a lot of people don't realize that, and he came to Ontario.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, in the 50s and 60s, Ontario was probably the number one aircraft manufacturing hub in the world, maybe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so okay. that was where, like, it was, or it was a leader
yeah.
in aircraft technology in the 50s and 60s, actually.
Mm.
And then they, John Diefenbaker abandoned something called the Avro Aero Project in Canada. And so then Canada lost its edge as a manufacturer of high-end military jets.
Right.
Long story short.
Yeah.
Folks, Peter Ma, any final thoughts for the Get a Grip on Lighting listeners?
Well, I hope you if we can get like an offline meeting, like you know, that like a fan club.
A fan club? Come
yeah,
on,
we
man.
Need a
we're
fan,
not
club.
Doing fan club. Scotty, we're not going fan club. Sure, man. You know what? Hey, you guys, you know, all the listen, we always say you're a colleague of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that you're a fan. I mean, you can say that you're a fan, but I mean, Greg and I would say that we're colleagues, and it's great to have you come into the studio, Peter.
Yeah.
It's so nice to
it's
meet
so
you.
It's so nice to meet you, too.
And happy that you I love the idea of your business. I think it's wonderful. And I'd like to thank all the people listening to the show, like we always do at the end, all you folks out there. Anytime, man. I mean, you got to call first. Maybe send an email before you drop in here at Get a Grip Studios and Atlas Lighting here in Toronto. But for sure, I love all the people, all my colleagues that listen to this show. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.